abundance reservoir of supply. Teach me, Eternal, how thine orders run, and I will follow them step by step. Psalm 119:33. The boundless reservoir of supply. This is the thing that everyone has tried to reach, and everyone is going away from it. We'll try tonight to see how we can reach this boundless reservoir of supply. It is said that prosperity is a state of mind. It is also said that poverty is a state of mind. We hear it said that prosperity is a dream come true, and that poverty is also a dream come true. But all this is of the mind. It is not real. It is an illusion of the mind itself caught up in opposites. Prosperity and want, success and failures, etc., are made up in the mind, are based on the values of the senses. For no one is satisfied with what they have, they always want more. This is not freedom, it is desire. And when we are caught up in desire, there can be no freedom. Now you will see what I am driving at to begin with. That there is something more than mind. Something greater than your ideas, your beliefs. Because in your beliefs and your ideas, you separate yourself from that which is real in itself. Reality alone is the boundless reservoir of supply. It is the creativeness and the creator of everything that exists in the whole universe. You will note now that your brain is but an instrument of the mind. Therefore, the brain is within the mind's orbit. The mind itself is but a vehicle of expression, and life is the power that controls every activity in the mind and body because it is creative. The mind is not creative at all. The mind is a vehicle of expression. But life is God, and God is life. Therefore, we have to understand the mind and how things are made up in the mind, which we think they are real, but they are not. They are the illusion of the individual who does not understand himself and who is caught up in the outer. But if you begin to understand yourself, you will find that you are not the product of mind whatsoever. You are really creativeness. You are really one with that which is eternal and ever-present. And that which is eternal and ever-present is everywhere, and there is nowhere where it is not. There is no space where it does not exist. There is nothing outside it. It is complete and whole in itself. It is the boundless reservoir of supply, because it is creative. Life alone is creative, and life in you and life in me is the creative power in man. But if you separate yourself from one another, if you separate yourself from your neighbor, then you have created separation from that which really is. Because all that is, no matter whether it is your neighbor or anything else, is God. Because there is nothing else, and there can be nowhere where he is not. Therefore you see that the mind is caught up in the illusion of desire. And in that desire, you are going away from the reservoir of supply. As we will see shortly, that being is the reservoir of supply, and not becoming. You are trying to become something. What are you trying to become? The fact is that you're going away from reality. There can only be freedom when desire has perished through the understanding of the self, with all its desires, hopes of becoming. Freedom alone exists in being and not in becoming. When the state of being is reached, we have found the inner treasure, which is imperishable. You may call it what you like, but it is not a mental thing, nor a thought. It is a state of being, where you enter into the boundless reservoir of supply, and things do not matter anymore, because all is yours. What is mine is thine. This is a mere saying to those who do not understand, but to those who do understand, it is the light on the path. Let us see the difference of being and becoming. You try to become something. What are you trying to become? If you're trying to become good, you're running away from evil, therefore you do not understand the evil. If you're trying to become rich, you're running away from poverty because you do not understand what poverty is. If you're trying to be successful, you're running away from failure because you do not know what failure is. Don't you see that you're living in opposites? You're living in the mind where there is duality and opposites. There is always conflict where there is opposites. But if you understand the opposites, you will recognize then clearly what they are, and they will fall away from you. And when you have reached that state of understanding completely the opposites, one to the other, you will know that they are the conflict of the mind, but you will reach that in which there is no conflict, which is in itself complete. It is being, being. Becoming, there is always conflict. You're running away from something to become something else. You're always endeavoring to put a positive in the place of a negative, but it cannot be done. The negative will always exist, no matter how much you try to place a positive in its place. You can only dissolve the negative by understanding it and how it arises. And you will also dissolve its opposite too, because you will no longer need it. It will no longer bother you. If then you have one, you must have the other. You're trying to become something, you must be running away from something else you do not understand. If you do not understand that, it will trouble you forever. It will always crop up in your mind to bring you to the state of anything you're trying to run away from. So I say clearly and distinctly, unless you understand opposites, you can never free yourselves from opposites. It's an utter impossibility. Therefore, trying to become is living in opposites. How can you ever free yourself if you're living in opposites? Being is not living in opposites. Being is now, renewing itself eternally in the present. When the past rises in the mind, it is discerned in the present and dissolves away. Memories of the past will rise up in the present because you're discerning your thoughts, feelings in the present. You're understanding yourselves. Therefore, because your thoughts and feelings at the present moment are similar to those of the past, it is all associated with the past. Your memories will rise right to the surface at the moment, and you will understand them. There is no need for you to try and search into your mind for memories of the past. That is looking for effects. You must understand the cause of effects before they will be removed, and discerning your actions and thoughts, feelings at this moment, you're discerning the cause of your troubles. As long as we are seeking the values of the senses, whether it be touch, taste, smell, or possessions, having and not having, etc., the outer becomes more important than the inner. Now, what is the more important to you at this very moment? Search in your minds and see if the outer is more important to you than the inner. It is here where you go wrong, because the outer is always dictating to you when the outer is more important than the inner. And when the outer dictates to you, you create in the inner according to the dictates of the outer. And what you create in the inner will eventually be established on the outer. So you are caught up in the vicious circle. Why? Because you are becoming. You want to become something, God knows what, I don't know. Now the mere denial of the outer is not the way to the inner. You may deny the outer and withdraw from the world into a jungle or a cave and there think of God or the inner or whatever name you like to call it. But your thinking of God is still of the senses because your thought is bound up with the senses. What you would like to feel, what you would like to be, what you would like to have. Thus you are caught up in your becoming. Therefore, there can be no being, and only in being is there freedom and completion. When you are merely speculating, caught up in desire, which is not being, you are caught up in confusion because you do not know. It is not very long ago since we had the ideal of God as some angry old man up there with a stick waiting to pounce on you immediately you made a mistake or so-called mistake. And this God of yours contained all the frailties of the human mind. Naturally, it has not been a loss to discard this kind of God, but you will note that that God was always outside oneself. Then the new idea, which has been propounded recently, that God is a God of love. And it's more appropriate, of course, and helps people along to a great extent, because we have changed from one God that is angry to another God that is love. Well, they have changed the idea of God from one to the other, but it's still an idea. The God of love is still an idea to them because he's still separate and distinct. He's something outside themselves. And therefore the idea of one and the other is not much difference except that one was angry and the other was loving. But what have we got to do? We've got to get rid of both of the ideas. The ideas of God must be got rid of because it's an idea. What are we quarreling about? What does religion quarrel about all over the world today, I ask you? They quarrel over their ideas of the deity, don't they? That's what they're quarreling about. That's why one will cut your throat, because their idea is different to yours. There has been more misery and bloodshed caused through religious belief than anything else in the world. How then can you console the truth of the reality that exists in every human soul that is complete in himself, and if he wanted to destroy a part of himself, he would be destroying himself? But this is what people are wanting to do. They're wanting to destroy a part of themselves. So they begin to destroy one another because of their ideals. These things are made up in the mind. They're not a truth. They are a mental illusion. And if you can see clearly now, you'll discard these illusions because they're made up in your mind. And also, If you discard the illusions about your body and your mind too, you can discard them all and you shall be free. Millions of people have tried to solve this puzzling problem of supply and have advanced many ideas, but all lead to destruction and misery through having and not having and wanting and not wanting, the me and the not me, the mine and the not mine. Some have claimed that wealth is a result of hard work and planning, etc. Some have offered the solution that it is fate or destiny, and others have said it is pure luck. Others say that some are born into inherit wealth, and some have said that life is a gamble, and thus all are gamblers. Some say the poor are not aggressive, while the rich are. Some say that the rich grasp opportunities, while the poor do not. We also know that there are those who want to become materially poor and spiritually rich, so they seclude themselves as a means of loosening the bonds of attachment and desire from the temporary things of the world. They look upon things as a hindrance to spiritual growth, yet their desire for spiritual growth is just as much a hindrance as the desire for material growth. They try to become through the idea that the material is a hindrance. Becoming and the means of becoming is also an illusion. I hope till you're beginning to see the truth of this. You cannot separate the spiritual from the material. One is the expression of the other. The material doesn't jump up and bite you. It doesn't hurt you. What is it that hurts you? It's your reaction to these conditions. It's your reactions to the material. The desire for the material, for the created. Not knowing that creativeness alone is creative. And in the uncreated alone is creativeness. And not in the created. So we see then, it is your reactions, your desire for the created that counts, that causes your trouble. If you could only know that being now is creative. It is not something of the past or the future. It is not something that you want to become in the future. It is not something what you were in the past. The past is a memory, the future is a hope, they belong to the mind, they're battling with one another. But the present is eternal, and the eternal is creativeness now. The consciousness of man is creative. Therefore, where is your consciousness now? Is it caught up in the created, or is it creativeness in itself? Are you living then in opposites? Are you trying to become something? Being as a state now, not in some future time, because the state of being is not of time, but of the timeless. Therefore there is no time. Time is the illusion of man. You measure the day, the week, the months, and the years, by the movement of the sun and the moon. In relation to the earth, you divide the day into 24 hours, the hours into minutes, and the minutes into seconds. That is the calculation of man's mind. But in the timeless, there is no measurement of time. It is a completion. It is the movement of the planets, not only of the earth and the moon that we are now interested in, but the whole canopy of the heavens, the whole universe is moving as one complete wholeness in which there is no time. It is in the timeless that you live. It is in the timeless that I live, but we do not know it. And because we live in time, we can never know the timeless. And if you're always becoming, you will never know being. You cannot say that the infinite knows time. What man thinks of is time. Millions of people are trying to combat want, because want appears to them as a reality. So they struggle hard to elevate themselves to a station of life which they call a standard of living. And with the standard of living, they face fierce competition and many insurmountable difficulties, always questioning the justice of their unfortunate plight. Is it not the struggle you have that causes all your difficulties? You want to become, so you struggle to become. But if you're being now and you understand what being is, your becoming ceases. There is no longer any struggle. You are now at this very moment. And it is the intelligence in the universe that is working through you then. The will of man does not exist. He is no will at all. It is a relative thing that does not exist in reality. Because no matter what man will do, the divine decree shall immediately and will be fulfilled. No matter how wayward man will be, his waywardness causes to himself the breaking of the law, which rebounds upon himself alone. And what is the law of divine? The law of divine is this, that the divine is in the individual, and the individual is in the divine. If the individual then is antagonistic to his brother, he violates the divine, because the divine exists in his brother too. And the divine being whole and universal, the individual cannot violate the universal. Neither can universal act according to the individual who desires to be antagonistic to the universal that is in the individual. So therefore the individual suffers according to the law. If you then understand being, there is no struggle, there is no antagonism, there is no trying to become something, because you are the greatest and the most wonderful, beyond the perfection of man's mind, because perfection of man's mind is a comparison with something else. But in the perfection of that which exists in reality is beyond man's mind, which you are that. Therefore you do not have to become something. You become inferior when you try to become something. But if you are being, you become so beautiful, without struggle, free from all these things. If you could only know what the cessation of struggle means. You are struggling with this, you are struggling with that. By struggling with it, what do? You intensify it, you give it a power it does not possess. It is relative anyhow. And all the relative world has no power of its own. So their lives are a seesaw of gain and loss, which leads to confusion and ultimate misery. They struggle for a result, but the result does not come. They want security, so they seek an end. In reality, there is no end. Therefore, their lives are a torture. And many say it is not worthwhile. Man's external plight is a concrete expression or reflection of his internal state of mind. We see then that wealth of itself is not a permanent possession of any individual, because it is constantly shifting and changing hands. It's moving about from one to the other. Those who understand realize that wealth is not a sensitive thing, but a state of being in the boundless reservoir of supply, and have the right to the temporary possession of wealth. Wealth, then, is through understanding, not a sensitive thing, something that belongs to the senses, what you see and feel and touch, but a state of being, state of creativeness. If you'd only discard all your various trying to become, your struggle, what would happen? That which in itself is real would express itself without effort. It is the effortless expression of the intelligence that is manifesting through the mind and brain of man, created for its own self-expression. To be at peace, then, is a state of being. As Jesus said, the peace I give you is not as the world gives it. There is no end to the boundless reservoir of supply, because there is no end to being. Therefore, they do not seek an end, nor do they seek continuity, for this is also an illusion that arises when we want to become. You want the continuity of life. If you want the continuity of life, there is an end to it. That's why you want the continuity of it, is it not? Why do you want a continuity of life? Because you think you'll die, that's why. And by a hope, and by preaching, and by some person telling you that there is a continuity of life, you'll be satisfied. But there's always the doubt, is there not? You try to become. That's your becoming. Being is of a different state. Being is eternal. It is when you conceive what you are doing in your mind, what's made up in your mind, that you will reach that which is beyond your mind. But as long as you're caught up in your own images, in your own beliefs, in your desires, and your hopes, and your memories, you're caught up in your minds. You're torn here and there and everywhere because you do not understand. But if you understand yourself and your mind and how it's made up, then you can free yourself. That is self-knowledge. And then you will find virtue, the real virtue that is eternal and ever-present. Virtue is not made up. Virtue is not becoming something. Virtue is in being now. Those who understand enjoy ownership during the span of a lifetime on earth, which is a brief duration. They come in, they are heir to all that is thine. They enjoy what is given to them. They do not discard it, nor despise it. Neither are they afraid of it. Neither do they possess it. And by doing so, there is no misery, there is no struggle, there is peace. They know that at the fateful moment of their earthly exit, their material riches become the possessions of others, while the boundless reservoir remains unchanged and eternal. I am here for a short space of time. I live in the timeless, but in this short space upon in this relative world, I am not afraid of it. Neither do I try to run away from it. Neither am I afraid of the good or the evil. Now I'm afraid of opposite such a success and failure, because I know them all to be made up in my own mind. And when I have seen all that is made up in my mind, I reach that which is beyond mine. Then I know that I am eternal. I am the timeless, yet for a brief space in time. Therefore I use everything, the pleasure and the unpleasant things are my own reactions, and I understand them both. The things that give me pleasure and the things that give me pain are both the same. They are created within myself. I cannot create them outside myself. Neither can they affect me in any way, except I allow them to affect me in that way. But I know all the time that what I feel, the pleasure and the pain, are both the same. Therefore, if you would be rich with contentment, seek the boundless reservoir of supply that is within the consciousness of God, and which is also within the consciousness of man himself. For this source we attract wisdom and love, and is the greatest wealth man can have, and with it comes all material things as well. In the Bible we read, for Solomon asked only for wisdom, because he did not ask for wealth for himself. He was granted all this as well. This is the unfailing colossal power of our magnetic attraction. And not in wanting and not wanting, having and not having, which cause conflict and confusion in the mind. If your thought then is caught up in wanting and not wanting, you're creating a disturbance in your own atmosphere. You're pushing away and trying to get at the same time. It's like a person who goes to the wall and he says, I want to get away from the wall. So if I went here to the wall, and I pressed, now I want to get away from the wall, and I pushed myself, trying to push myself away from the wall, and the more I push, the more I push with the wall right on. If I struggle no longer, and I walk away, therefore I have no struggle, have I? There is nothing. That is the world of opposites that you are living in. Exactly the same. The human mind is a manifestation of the divine mind and is the bridge to the boundless reservoir of supply, God and man being one. But this can only be realized in a state of being and not in a state of becoming. How can you understand then? How can you realize that God and man are one if you're trying to become something? Are you not living in contradiction? I've often said, what's the hell's the use of talking to you anyhow if you don't understand what I'm saying? Therefore I say to you, think clearly, and by knowing these things, you are living yourself out of those conditions and bringing peace and happiness and contentment and health and happiness into your lives. This can only be realized in a state of being and not in a state of becoming. Through this link issues the tremendous electromagnetic waves in the form of intelligent thought. It is intelligence itself. Intelligence itself then begins to express itself through the individual who has cleared the mind for it. Is it not said in the Bible, clear the way for the Lord? What does it mean by clearing the way for the Lord? It means clearing the mind of all the conflicts, ideas and images, making that mind clear so that the Lord can speak. I tell you, struggle no more with the opposite. Then you will find that this intelligence, which itself is peace. God has not and never made a mistake, but you're always thinking he has, because you're always asking him to change his mind. You pray for something else. You pray for peace. Why do you pray for peace? Do you think that God has created war and destruction? You're living in a world of opposites, but you're a living being. You know perfectly well that man is the creator of all these miseries through his own ignorance. In a state of being and not in a state of becoming. That a state of being is the link which issue the tremendous electromagnetic waves in the form of an intelligent thought. It is a powerful magnet that attracts from the boundless reservoir of supply all the good things that God has prepared for those who love Him. We love God through our neighbor by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Therefore, he who would acquire all these good things does not desire for himself alone, for this would place him in bondage. Place upon him a heavy burden which would not allow him to enjoy the wealth that is within his grasp. Greatest joy in life is found in the joy of others. This, the greatest treasure, storehouse of the Father, is made available to those who make others happy. What is the best thing you could do to make other people happy? Take away from the tortures of the mind, and they must be willing that you shall take the tortures of the mind away from them. But they must begin to understand themselves, because you cannot do their understanding for them. You can only show the way. But if you can show the way to true understanding, then you have given the greatest gift that God has given to man. Take away tortures of the mind through understanding. But how do you get understanding? Not by placing another idea in the stupid idea you hold to create more struggle and more difficulties. The more priests you have, the more difficulties you have. You may go from one priest to another and you only increase your difficulties. The greatest priest is within you, and that's the Christ himself. And there in that wholeness and completeness of the Christ, as a little child, yet with the wisdom of God and the power and love of God, manifest, because it manifests immediately. It is not a matter of time or becoming. It is immediate in its completion, because it is complete itself. I wish I could give you the understanding, but I cannot. Each must do it for himself. I wish I could give you the mind heart. How often did Jesus think the same thing? Oh, if I could take you as a chicken would under its wings, its brood. So would I do the same, but it's impossible. That is found within yourselves, and you alone must find it. But it's not difficult. It is not something that is insurmountable. It is easy. When you become as a little child, then you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is the truth. Now seek in your own mind, until such time as you become a little child, dissolving all your thought feelings, thoroughly understanding them, then they will dissolve of their own free will. They have no power except the power you give them. You created them, you can destroy them. They have no eternal existence. They do not exist in reality. They are not real at all. They are illusionary. They are self-created. They are made up in your mind. The understanding then you shall become as a little child, and you shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, free from all these things. Then you are free with the wisdom, the great and mighty wisdom, the creativeness of God, and the love of God, which holds no animosity or holds nothing against your brother, because God holds nothing against you. And the power that comes through love is tremendous, because it is the creative power behind all the universe, and upon which the universe stands. Without it, the universe would fall to pieces and destroy itself. But under the circumstances that the eternal must be perfect in itself, beyond its own destruction, and we know that love is indestructible, that no one can destroy it. That is the peace. That is being and not becoming. You are that now, when you shed your illusions, which are self-created. The story of the prodigal son has many meanings. We see the son who returned to the great storehouse of God, made merry with others, enjoying the feast of the great storehouse, open to all who come with love and companionship with others. The elder brother works hard, but is not happy and cannot go in because he has no companionship with others. Here he separated himself because he thought he was good and the other was evil. He lived in opposites. Therefore he could not enter into the kingdom which was wholeness. The prodigal son was just as much to the father as the other son was. Both were as important. Both remained sons of God. One realized his mistake. He discerned the ways of the self. He came back with the understanding and entered in to the house of God to make merry and dance and be happy. While the other brother heard this happiness and music going on, he thought it was evil. The bad brother that was, he came back, and now he's dancing in the heaven. The brother thought it was hell, and he wouldn't go in. But the father, knowing what the son was thinking, he said to him, "What ails you, son?" And then he blurted out, "Your son has come home. The rascal that he was spent all his inheritance and comes back into the fold, and you enter him into the house and he makes merry with all his friends." And then he said to his father, "But and you kill the fatted calf and all make merry and eating and rejoicing." And he said, "But I can't even get a kid to make merry with my friends." But the father said to him, "Son, all that is mine is thine." He did not know the great reservoir of supply, the absolute, the eternal reservoir of supply. He lived in the relative. He lived in opposites, the good and the evil. But I told you before, they grew out of the same tree. They have the same root. But the root of life has a different root. It has its roots in God, for the tree of good and evil has its roots in man's mind, and where it's made up. So is all other opposites just the same. How often have I told you in so many ways this truth? I'll go on telling you, and telling you in different ways, the same truth. It's the same truth, there's no other truth. If I go on till doomsday to telling you, in a thousand and million different ways, it will be the same truth, because there is no other. The great secret of wealth is a state of being now. It is a consciousness of abundance in the great storehouse, that eternal reservoir of supply from which we can all enjoy the good things that God has prepared for us. The old habits of thinking in terms of self must be replaced by a state of being. This can only be reached when the self has dissolved away. The negative approach to life through the positive attitude of the self must be eliminated. Then a firm, cheerful, confident outlook, so understanding will magnetize the minds so that the magnetic attraction will be amplified 100-fold. It is this positive approach to life by the personal self, which you're all told to do in the ordinary way, and where has it got you? Some people have been always telling you that you must become positive. You must demand from God. There is nothing else but demand from God. Why, goodness gracious me, you're making yourself separated from God, are you not, when you're demanding from someone? What are you thinking about? The teaching has got no foundation whatsoever. Not until you have found the truth yourselves can you ever find the truth. And you will know what comes out of the mouth of man, whether it's true or not. In this way, we are protected from disturbing suggestions, both internally and externally, in order to safeguard the mind from disorder, which demagnetizes the mind. For the main essentials are peace and harmony. Otherwise, the great electromagnetic waves of the eternal will not be received. The eternal is our most powerful, faithful, and valuable servant, the servant of all. With this understanding, you will not disturb, mistreat, or pervert the mind, for those are the deadly enemies of man, created by himself through ignorance of his state of being. We cannot fill our minds with poison and expect to produce beautiful flowers, for the mind will produce what we know, what we feel, that is true. Nourish your mind with the state of being. In this state there is harmony, abundance, health, happiness, wisdom, and love. We will look upon the fields of corn and can say the harvest is already gathered. Yes, when Jesus said to his disciples, little did they know, when they looked upon, they said, the harvest is ready for gathering. And he said, he looked upon it, the harvest is already gathered. It is complete. Little do you know how wonderful that truth is. That is what he meant, completion, finished, being, not becoming. With this understanding we will ask and we will receive. We will seek and we shall find. We will knock and it will be opened unto us, the great storehouse of God, who has already prepared all the good things for those who love their neighbor as themselves. And there is no limit put to what you can take. If you become covetous, then it is difficult. Why did they say, you shall not covet your neighbor's goods? There is a storehouse of supply, if you know how to reach it. Within understanding, we will ask and we will receive. Impatience must be guarded against. Impatience shows a lack of faith and understanding. Patience and understanding are the basic factors of victory. Transmute the energy of desire into that state of being. Then there will be an end to the many desires which overpower the mind with duality. The wrestling with duality, having and not having, etc., will produce failure and the opposite result. Do not dissipate your energies with sensate values. but seek that state of being which alone brings true happiness and permanent results. When you have found the secret of opening up to the boundless storehouse of supply, all the good things that God has prepared for you will pour forth in abundance. Love, wisdom are the greatest fortunes that man can inherit, and with this will come all else. For they are the keys to all things, above and below. They are the key that opens the door to that reservoir of abundance, love, and wisdom. Your problems are solved, and the enemies of ignorance are entirely vanquished. Thought, through its conditioned state, can never find that which is complete. If your thought is conditioned with opposites, how can you find that which has no opposites? When you see the false drops away. When the mind is in a state of high receptivity, there is a great peace of which there is no fear. When there is no fear, there is love. When you love, you are not calculating. Your whole heart, your whole being is open. When you merely think about love, or about a person whom you love, your heart is empty. When there is love, there is no fear of want, no fear of death. Fear of death, fear of want, is in becoming, not in being. Loving is being. Being is loving. In this dot of being, love has no claim, has no wants. And that is the beauty of love. Love does not claim, does not demand. And where there is love, there is no want, no death. Because there is no fear. Think of that state of being. You can have it now at this very moment. It is not something that you want to become. It is as you are made in the image and likeness of God. His life, His substance, His consciousness, His everything is now. That is the teachings of at this very moment, you shall be with me in paradise. Love is being moment to moment. Therefore, love is its own eternity. This is why the prophet said, the mind has not conceived the many good things that God has prepared for those that love. Thus the great storehouse, the boundless reservoir of supply, is open to those who love. Then love thy neighbor as thyself. And God, who loves all, will fill your cup overflowing, for all he has is thine. Also, I and the Father are one. Now you will know what a state of being is. I and the Father are one. I do not have to become one with Him. It is not something that I may become sometime later, by doing this or doing that, going to the cave or denying this material. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Benediction. O eternal beloved, thy storeroom is ever open to me, and now I care not what my possessions may be, for all belong to thee. Thou hast granted me the use of all that is thine, for thou hast told me that all was also mine. My state of being is one with thee, and now the veil of ignorance has vanished that separated thee from me, O eternal beloved.